Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. How did I talk to the spirit?
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Hello and welcome to the IGN UK podcast. I am Alex and I'm joined by IGN's very own Resident Evils, Dale Driver and Jesse Gomez.
Hello. So we're IGN's very own Resident Evil. That sounds wicked.
Evils. Because there's two of you.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
You're a shared evil.
Okay.
Potentially.
I've got a bit of evil inside me, definitely. I know that.
Nah, mate, you're soft.
Which bit?
My core, my soul.
I think it might be your tongue because you sound ever so weird this morning.
Yeah, so I made the real like smart maneuver of booking in severe dentist work the morning of doing a podcast. So my mouth is still very numb. So if I sound a bit slurry, I'm not drunk. I'm just, well, high off anesthetic, I suppose, is the way to put it.
Pubs are back open. The sun is shining.
Yeah,
he's
Dale's
out there.
11 fucked.
O'clock. 8 cans of special brew. Let's podcast.
Those are the old days, right? It only dawned on me when I was actually walking out of the dentist and it was like midday and I was like, oh, I've got to do a podcast an hour. Oh, hang on a second. I can't even drink properly right now.
To be fair, that was my fault because we were supposed to record yesterday and I was too busy.
Yeah, I blame you.
Yes. I said to my wife, I've got to do a podcast in a bit. She's like, you're not serious. Surely you can't do that. I was like, just watch me. Just watch me, baby. I'm going to do it.
What's the worst that's going to happen? You're going to mess up a few words.
So well, hardcore. Like,
well, there's not that many people who've played Resident Evil in our team and someone's got to talk about it. So here we are.
Well, that is the main talking point about this week's episode. You two have played it a lot. I've played it a little bit. So it's obviously out today. We want to avoid most spoilers, but also we want to kind of talk a little bit in detail. Like my first thoughts are, so I missed 7. I didn't play 7 at all. And I'm really enjoying 8, or Village, or whatever you want to call it. Although it still does a lot of Resident Evil things that I find incredibly fucking painful.
Okay. Like what?
Inventory, number one.
Okay.
Because, and I messaged you guys last night while I was playing it. I had the situation where I just picked up everything that I could because that's what I used to do. That's what I do it in all games.
Yeah.
But then I was halfway, well, more than halfway through the opening castle. I don't want to sort of say too much. But I couldn't collect any more. Well, there was a weapon I wanted to pick up, but I couldn't get it because I had too much stuff. But I couldn't get rid of the other stuff. Or basically, I had to get rid of all of my health packs. But once I got rid of them, I didn't have any more health pack space to sort of redo it.
Right.
And then I picked up the weapon, used all of its ammo, but I couldn't pick up any more ammo because they didn't have any slots for it. I couldn't put the ammo in the gun, even though it was empty. It was like, that's stupid.
I guess that's stuff that me and Jesse sort of take for granted because it's so like it's so ingrained in us. But what clearly happened here is, yeah, obviously it's out there already that there's a merchant character in Resident Evil Village, and you at that point in the game you'd already had a couple of opportunities to visit them, and it sounds like you hadn't.
Well, I've visited them once, but I didn't have a lot of money.
Okay.
Certainly not enough to upgrade the size of my suitcase or whatever the fuck it is that I'm well, that's, around yeah. with gear in it.
So that's like always in Resident Evil games, it's always the first port of call. Like as soon as you have an option to expand your inventory, that's the first thing you should absolutely do.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it's also, you're more careful about organizing your inventory as well. Like in Resident Evil Village, they've done what Resident Evil 4 had, and they've had this sort of the Tetris game inside your inventory. We can organize it. And for the first half of the game, I didn't feel like I needed it at all, but definitely towards the latter half, I had to shift and rotate things around to squeeze new guns in. So there was an element of, but that's kind of part of the core mechanic, I suppose.
Yeah, that's been in Resi since near enough day one, inventory management. But I would like to see what your inventory looks like.
They have made it significantly better.
Talking dirty to me like that.
They have made it significantly better in Village, where now key items aren't stored in your inventory, like bolt cutters and things like that. Now they have a separate tab, so you're no longer having to juggle items or discard keys when you've used them and things like that.
Yeah, because that's always been annoying, like that sort of mainstay, like item management, where you want to pick up an ink ribbon to save your game, but whoops, I have a key and I don't know where to use it. That's always been so annoying. Yeah.
I do think they've really streamlined that process. And also the fact that there's, it might be spoiler to say, but there's no item cases in this game as well. Or what they've got, item boxes, I suppose they call them.
Like storage boxes.
Storage.
Come back and revisit. Yeah.
So you didn't play Resident Evil 7. They actually had that in Resident Evil 7. So
I remember them from olden days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's something they've ditched as well, which actually Resident Evil 4 didn't have, I believe.
Yeah, Resident Evil 4 didn't have them. And Village does borrow a lot from like Resident Evil 4 and Resident Evil 1, even Silent Hill and a few other games too.
Yeah.
But there was one point where, so I took quite a lot of damage in a battle. No health packs, but enough to craft one.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, why can't I just put down that ammo just for a second, pop it down there, heal myself, and then pick it back up. But you discard it, it's gone. It disappears into the ether. And it's just things like that.
You're not allowed to question these things, Al. You just have to accept it.
No, I like it because it's things that I would never think of as someone who's played all Resident Evil. It's just, you just accept that this is the way it is.
You just instinctively kind of do it since you've played so many of the Resident
Evil.
But when
someone comes with fresh eyes, they sort of expose it for you a little bit. And that is quite interesting. But I do feel like we're starting off on a little bit of a negative tone here because this game is a very good game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, that's what I said. I do really enjoy it, but that was one little sticking point so far. Although the opening is very similar to Resident Evil 4, isn't it?
Yeah, it definitely has. So, I mean, they've worn their heart on their sleeve with this, right? They're not trying to hide the fact that they're very much inspired by Resident Evil 4. Like, everything, even down to the setting and the way the game plays out into weapon management, the merchant stuff.
Yeah.
Even the way treasure works and other resources that you can collect. It's so inspired by Resident Evil 4, like, almost like I would say maybe a little bit too far for me. Like, it feels like a little bit of a step back in that respect. Like, I really like the trajectory they were on with 7, and don't get me wrong, I really love 8. I think it's a great game, but it does maybe for me just take one tiny step too far towards action and one away from horror for me. That's just my personal point of view.
Yeah, like compared to 7, I'd say, like, you know, the gameplay for Village has been like slightly adjusted just because the way Ethan controls, there's a lot more combat involved in Village, and just like I said, the way Ethan plays now, you can, like, you know, when you're blocking, you're still able to, you know, put some shots off, which is something you couldn't really do at all in 7. Kind of just shows the more action route that they're taking, just making Ethan a bit more combat ready compared to the previous game, I guess.
Yeah,
I must admit, I've kind of forgotten that there's even a blocking button.
That is incredibly useful.
It's very useful.
It is overpowered. You should use it.
Just for everyone's benefit, so I finished Resident Evil 8 Village twice. Jesse, you finished it 3 times, I believe.
I've now finished it, I think, 5 times.
Jesus Christ. Why?
Resident Evil is obviously for work and stuff, just all the videos and stuff. But Resident Evil, it doesn't take too long to get into the swing of things. Like, after your first playthrough, once you like have a certain amount of unlockables and stuff, you can kind of get into the swing of things. And once you know where item placements are, it's pretty much a breeze to go through, to be fair, once you know where everything is.
So I'm playing through on the hard mode right now, and I think I'm pretty much around the same point where you are, Al, and I got there in about 25 minutes. So it's Resident Evil games have always been built that way, where your first experience is usually, you know, an 8 to 10 hour sort of thing, except for Resident Evil 3 remake. That was a different situation.
Yeah.
But they're normally about 8 to 10 hours, but the games can actually be speed run by a normal person in like 2 or 3 hours, usually is the case. And that's why Jesse's being able to, you know, get through this. And oftentimes the harder difficulties you finish them on, the more weapons you get and the more things you can do. And that's kind of the idea there for the loop.
Yeah.
But finished this game a while ago now, well, a couple of weeks ago or a week ago or so. And I've been still struggling for a while to think about what I actually think of it, because I know on its surface it's a really great game and I appreciate a lot about it. But I still think I prefer the first half of Resident Evil 7 for me was a better experience.
Okay.
And I think that's because there's some great enemy designs and great bosses in this game. Not necessarily boss encounters, but great boss designs. And the level design is fantastic. but nothing ever quite intimidated me more and put me on edge more than the Baker family did at the start of Resident Evil 7.
I think that's because it's rooted in reality, right? It's, it felt like, again, I didn't play it, but I watched a bunch of videos of, you know, various things on there, know all about it. And, you know, 8 very much feels like the fantastical and like going into the castle and exploring and seeing the enemies that you see there. I thought it was, like, again, as you say, brilliantly designed. Character design is fantastic, but very rarely scary.
Yeah.
Like, even when you're being stalked by some of the bigger enemies, shall we say.
Yeah. So, like, the first half of the game, I was a bit hesitant of it because I found, like, everyone knows who Lady Dimitrescu is, but I found her in general to be quite disappointing in comparison. I guess maybe that's part of it, like, you know, the pre-build hype, like everyone was hyping her up as to be this like classic Resident Evil character in some ways that she is, but in like compared to Jack Baker or even like Nemesis or Mr. X, it falls a little bit short for me. It doesn't quite have the same effect. That partly that might be because we're so used to this, the gameplay loop of what a stalker is now in Resident Evil, that dealing with it is not too much of an issue when you've played all the other games. But like, again, I think it's my problem with a lot of Resident Evil games is always the boss designs. They look fantastic, but the actual layout of the battles tend to be disappointing.
Yeah.
And in past, it's been well documented how oftentimes it's just mutate into a giant blob, right? And then shoot the giant blob. And I think it's supposed to say this game definitely does that sometimes as well. But it also has some very, very unique moments as well, which make me love it. Oh, and all the way through, I'm thinking, I love this, I love this. I just wish boss battles were better.
Yeah.
And I felt like the way for a while.
I feel like that's been like, you know, with Resident Evil since day one, because obviously you have the classic camera angles. When people think of those, you know, like memorable boss fights from like Resident Evil 1, 2, and 3, it's because of the control method and how the game played. You're not really directly aiming at these bosses, but like, you know, the environment you're in and how you actually play the game lends. So why those boss fights are memorable, and like since now they're transferring that kind of, you know, those memorable boss fights and tyrants that you face to the modern versions of Resident Evil, where in reality, like, those weak points that you didn't really aim at before are now just really evident, and like those designs have just kind of stayed in Resident Evil for you know, however many years now. And it is annoying because like there are some like standout moments in Village. Like, if you've been on Twitter and stuff, you've probably seen a lot of people like talking about one specific one that's kind of a standout that we won't really discuss here. But that was a nice change from
a number of people say there's a moment in the game that made them have to actually sort of go away from it for a bit.
Yeah,
like, yeah, yeah.
So
is it that bad? And am I gonna notice it?
You'll know the moment when it happens and stuff like that. Like the actual segment that you're gonna play through. And stuff for me, it was a nice change from what you've experienced in previous Resident Evils. Because for me, Resident Evil games have never really been scary. There's like tense moments and stuff like that, but in terms of the scares that are offered up in Resident Evil, then for me they're kind of non-existent. But that moment there, it wasn't scary per se, but it was a little bit disturbing, and it felt different for Resident Evil, which is why there's like kind of like a Silent Hill connection there in terms of that segment.
I will say, I would just open up my WhatsApp to find the first message I sent to Jesse after that section. a while ago. And I said, I've just played one of the most disturbing sequences I've ever seen. It's mad.
Oh my God.
And I stand by that. Okay. I think Jesse is maybe made of sterner stuff than me, but...
I'm pretty hard.
It was less horror. For me, it was less about being scary, but more just like, it just felt really disturbing. It didn't help that I was playing it very late at night as well, on my own in a dark room. But... I can't wait to talk to you about it, Al, because it is truly like elements of it are really horrifying. And afterwards, it's like, right, I need to set this game down for the night after that. So.
Oh my God, okay, all right. Maybe I'll take it all back, saying that it's not a scary game.
Yeah, I mean, so I don't think it's a scary game except for that section. Beyond that, I don't think there's any real like horror elements to me. Like, I never felt scared. I did feel a little bit intimidated by a bit I didn't expect to. We're playing on the hardest difficulty, because on the hardest difficulty, all the speeds of the enemies is drastically increased.
Right.
And that made it way more intense. So there was a bit of a nightmare, but that was more just things coming at me was scaring me a little bit. But overall, I still think the stuff with the Baker family was like way more intimidating and scary and kind of what I want from a horror game. I do love it though. I do think it is like a really well-made game. And so I'm not going to go into spoilers at all, but I will say I found the story to be really satisfying, well put together. And also I felt like it really does a good job of connecting it to the previous Resident Evil games, like all the series, without being too heavy-handed with it. Like, you don't, like, I don't think you're going to be missing out, Al.
Okay.
Not like, maybe not picking up on some of those threads, but they're there if you want to dig into them.
There's like quite a lot of like, oh, look, an umbrella symbol.
Yeah.
Basically exactly that stuff. But some of the biggest thing revelations about that aspect of it are just hidden in notes. They're just on notes and tables. Okay. So you could easily just pick that up, put it down, whatever, carry on. And it's a very isolated story.
Mm.
But there is this deeper element of lore, which I really appreciated. And I thought it's probably like one of the best Resident Evil stories they've told, I'd say, maybe since, I don't know, I think Code Veronica is a pretty good story. Mm.
That's what I like about Village more than 7. Because for me, like, setting is really important for Resident Evil. And when I think of 7, I remember it just being really dark and just like full of brown and stuff like that. Like, the setting itself of Louisiana and the Baker household wasn't particularly engaging to me. And then you switch over to Village, which is obviously reminiscent of like Resident Evil 4 and a bit of Resident Evil 1 with the castle. And it's a very atmospheric and at times like disgusting, but also like beautiful place to explore. Yeah. And there's, you know, not just the castle, there's major environments that are all kind of distinct from each other to, you know, explore. And I think what's great about Village is that it rewards your time for exploring, because like Dell said, you have the notes that tie back to previous games and just, you know, expand upon what you're experiencing, but you also have treasure hunting as well. And like the time you put into Village to explore, like, it will be rewarded. And, you know, I said that my playthrough was around 7 hours and then my second one was 2, but I have friends who have put, you know, 13, 14 hours, like truly combing through everything. Like, I think it's definitely worth going into Village if you enjoyed 7, because it's a more refined version of that, I feel like.
Yeah, I would say as well, like, I put 10 hours on the first one, but there is a bunch of they are side missions. They're not like labeled like that or anything.
Yeah.
But there is things that are off the beaten track that aren't immediately obvious unless you're exploring as well. And there's, like Jesse said, there's plenty of times where the way the world is laid out, it's almost like, I hasten to say it's like Dark Souls, but it's the idea of, like, you know, you're repeating back on yourself and coming back to places that you revisited early in the game, but now that environment's changed a little bit and there's more to, or now you've got a tool that you didn't have before, so you can explore or try out this instead.
There's a lot of things like that. It's like,
yeah,
what tool are you going to use? And I've got a picture of my family and that's it. That's not going to work, is it?
So. Yeah.
I think it's fantastic. And like, the more I play it, the more I talk about it, the more I think I did enjoy it. I just went into it wanting more of the Baker house, and obviously it wasn't that. So that element was disappointing, and I found Lady Dimitrescu disappointing. But apart from that, I definitely think, so Resident Evil games are notorious as well, especially 7, for the second half or the, you know, the final third being a bit crap, basically.
Yeah,
I definitely feel I didn't get that vibe in this one. I really enjoyed it. It ramps up substantially with the combat and stuff towards the end. It becomes really action heavy, but in quite a good and enjoyable way. And they bring some, you know, there's a lot of story stuff that gets revealed right towards the end.
Yeah.
I definitely think they've sort of gotten over that hump. They just need to do that with the boss designs as well.
Yeah, I think that's the problem when you have, you know, like this entire family you're dealing with, like larger than what the Baker family was with. Because there was only a few boss battles in Resident Evil 7, but there's a lot more going on in Village. And obviously everyone's, like, the hype behind Lady Dimitrescu was like ginormous compared to, you know, previous Resident Evil games. And to have that segment, which, you know, isn't relatively long, and also how you deal with her daughters as well, like, I'm just echoing what Dale said, basically, like, the last hurdle I think Resident Evil needs to go over to improve upon is like dealing with the bosses, because just shooting the glowy parts doesn't really cut it anymore.
I thought the daughters was particularly lazy as well.
Oh, yeah.
There's 3 daughters and they're essentially the same fight every time.
Because I must admit, like, obviously when you deal with the first one, I just went round and, minor spoilers, smashed every window that was close to me. Just literally, like, as a window, smashed. Yeah. Just in case, if you're going to come after me, I've got you.
Yeah.
And as you say, it was the same thing. I didn't really feel like, oh, there's one, bang, bang, bang. Right, you're away for 10 seconds or so while I can fiddle around over here. And it just didn't feel, I didn't feel like there was a pressure for me to kind of deal with it.
Yeah, I would say the one that we were sort of referring to earlier, the scary one, that's coming up not too soon, pretty soon for you, I think.
Right.
And that for me was definitely the standout of the game. And that's kind of the Resident Evil I prefer, to be honest.
Okay.
But there is some cool moments in there. It's very wacky as well. Like, as is well documented by all the trailers and stuff, like showing, like, you know, characters like Heisenberg and Dimitrescu and who was the other one? I don't think they revealed any of the other ones necessarily, but there's a whole host of wacky, wonderful characters, and with that comes some weird situations as well. So it's very enjoyable from that. So it's so campy as well.
Like, yeah, like some campy. Of the dialogue that the bosses, like, what they say, and like sometimes just at the ports game, I was like, oh, it's been just so dumb to say, man, out loud, yeah, and put it into a game.
Yeah, there is.
It is really campy at times.
Fucking shady dialogue going on. What's a combination of the dialogue itself and the delivery of it?
Yeah, and how it's played also seriously. And then, you know, like what Ethan is going through throughout the entire game.
Oh, God, yeah. I'm really excited to see what they do next. Like, obviously, they've got Resident Evil 4 remake. Like, we pretty much know that's coming.
Yeah.
But the main series, like Resident Evil 9, whatever word they're going to squeeze into, get their Roman numerals in that one. I vote Crucifix, get your IX in there. Anyway, I'm interested to see where it can go here, because they kind of follow this free game sort of route, don't they? Like, they had the first Resident Evil 3, then Resident Evil 4 kind of reinvented it all, and then 5 followed that format, and 6 took it off the deep end.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at it as this, as 7 reinvented the format, 8 sort of added upon that, and now what is 9 going to be? Hopefully it's not a Resident Evil 6 situation on our hands again.
I hope not as well. Like, Village, you know, like, the conclusion of Village, like, obviously, no spoilers or anything, but, you know, it has a decent lead up to what, you know, whatever the next actual Resident Evil is going to be. But in my mind as well, you know, Resident Evil for so many years has been about, you know, essentially this, like, this family, this, you know, cast of characters, whether it's like Jill Valentine or Chris Redfield or, you know, Barry or Rebecca, all those people who at this point, by the time Resident Evil, you know, 9 happens, when, you know, it takes place in whatever year that is, those characters are 100% going to be like in their 60s, 70s. Like, there has to be a new... like, there has to be, like, new blood. And I think one of the main things that kind of annoys me about 7 and Village is that this main character, Ethan, who is meant to be the main character, and you're meant to care for him, and, you know, he does a lot more and he says a lot more in Village, they still don't show his face. And for me, Resident Evil has always been about, you know, this cast of characters who's so vocal, and you know what they look like, and you know what scares them when they get attacked and stuff like that. And then Ethan, just, like, in all the promotional art, even when you're looking at his model at the end of the game and stuff, like in the, you know, when you can see all the figures that you unlock, like, they still don't show his face. Like, just show the guy's face.
I can tell you what he looks like. No idea.
Yeah. Oh, no one can. Yeah, Capcom can. Fatmi thinks that's just... So if you actually look at some of the concept art, they show original concept art from Resident Evil 7 where he did have a face.
Yeah.
And they were designing a guy's face. But Fatmi thinks it's just this gimmick they came up with, and then they're just sort of being just holding tight to it because there's, like, this level of intrigue built up between around the audience. You know, they know how silly it is, I think. They're leaning into it.
Yeah.
Can't say I'm that much invested in Ethan's face, though, to be honest.
Oh, no, like, for me, it's just like a story thing, because you'll be watching a cinematic and it'll show, like, you know, it's not just like from the first person. There's some cinematics in Village where, you know, they take the camera and they, you know, do what they do and they show other characters. But then when it's showing Ethan, it's like, oh, you'll just see his hand a little bit.
Yeah, there's always something blocking
like,
it.
Like, I recognize his jacket. I know what his jacket looks like more than his face. And you have to go hunting for his face, like, in the game files, if you really want to see what Ethan looks like. It's just silly. I don't know.
What about Chris Redfield, though? He's like, what has he had, about 3 decades worth of this shit going on right now?
He must be fucking knackered of this stuff.
Just absolutely sick of it. He just can't be bothered with this anymore.
But even the beginning of 8, I watched the recap of 7. I didn't realize it was even the same person. But the fact that he went all the way through that and then is this, and he's like, why is this happening to me? It's like, Jesus Christ. You know, I'm like that if I get something that goes slightly wrong. But geez, imagine that. Poor guy. That's why he can't show his face. It's burned off because he's had such a hard life.
This is an ever so slightly minor spoiler for the very start of the game. Don't worry, it's not a story spoiler, anyone listening. But you're in Ethan's house at the start, and there's a Mr. Everywhere doll in his house, and that's like the collectibles from Resident Evil 7. I'm like, why are you keeping, like, these little things, like, literally the worst day of your life, and then you're taking a little memory from it and sticking it on your shelf in your house?
He ends up saying, like, oh, I should get rid of this. Like, yeah, you've been in that house for a while, mate. Like, you know, clean up your life.
Bizarre.
Anyway, that's Resident Evil 8. Obviously, it's out today, so if you get the chance to play it, then do let us know what you think by writing in to IGN_UK feedback@IGN.com.
And do let us know what your favourite Resident Evil novel is as well. Obviously, what? There's tons out there, and you know, make sure to tell us about it. I'd
no
love
one
to
else,
know.
No one else cares.
Plenty of people do. You're the only one.
Send in your fan fiction.
Yeah. Oh, no, don't. No, don't.
Yeah, don't do that, please.
I do want to know what people think of the scene we were loosely referring to, the horrible scene. You'll know it when you hit it. Okay. Let us know how you reacted.
Also this week, it was the 4th of May, otherwise known as May the 4th Be With You. Oh, God. Which is normally when they announce a ton of exciting Star Wars stuff. Yeah. Pretty dry this year, considering we know there's lots of games coming from lots of different companies. Nothing was teased at all on the game front, anyway.
Yeah, not on the game front, but we've got one huge thing, and that is the actual real-life lightsabers coming.
Real
yeah.
life, shut up.
They're real. I will pay any amount of money.
Well, I think you might have to, is the unfortunate thing.
Yeah.
So, they released a little teaser to go alongside the... Is it Galactic Star Cruiser, I think is the name of the sort of
Yeah, the Galactic Star Cruiser.
Hotel. And it had... For the first time that I've seen, anyway, what looked like a lightsaber that lights up and extends with the famous vroom at the same time.
Yeah.
And it does look exceptionally cool. But unfortunately, the first time you're going to be able to see that in real life, anyway, is by spending an incredible amount of money by going spending a week on a spaceship.
Yeah.
They're going to sell them, though.
You would hope so. But
at some point.
Yeah. And
I don't think they've announced.
No, they haven't at all, but it's like there's not much to say other than it looks incredibly cool, but you realize it's then both going to be super expensive and then quite easy to break. Like, you're not going to be, you know, fucking whacking your mates with it or whatever. It's going to be like a showpiece.
Jesse, I wouldn't be doing that anyway. Like, I don't know what you think I do with a toy lightsaber.
If you have a toy lightsaber, you want to use it.
Yeah, I would just say, ever since I was a kid, like, I would be in my garden, like playing and imagining having a lightsaber around. I used to use like TV remote and stuff and imagine it going up. And just to fulfill that childhood fantasy is all I want. To think of a beam actually extending and lighting up as it goes up. I'm not going to hit anyone with it. I might swing it around because of the sound, obviously.
Yeah.
But I just want it, all right?
Go on.
I was going to say about how much I'd pay for it. I reckon I'd pay at least £300.
Mate, it's going to cost way more than that for sure.
You think?
It has to, right?
Have you seen the technology, how it works?
Mm. I saw a tweet and I was like, oh, that's cool. And then I kept scrolling.
So I read about it on, I can't remember where I saw it, but it's they likened it to the same technology that you get in a tape measure.
Mm.
In that it's
reverse of a tape measure, isn't it?
Like, exactly. And obviously, it's made of plastic that is strong enough to maintain its shape when erect. Classic Jesse, of course you're gonna laugh at that. Jesus,
Dale smirked a little bit as well. And you spent too long saying that word.
Thing is,
anyway,
I used to work in engineering for like a decade where you use the word erection every day for metal erection, and I still laugh.
So it's rigid enough to stay erect, but also pliable, for want of a better word, so it folds back in itself.
Hmm.
So it doesn't feel like the technology is, you know, that advanced.
No,
why should it cost more than
because why wouldn't they want it to cost
true.
A lot of money?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
I wonder what the build quality of the actual handle is going to be, though. Are they going to go for the plasticky sort of vibe?
I imagine this is like, you know, a collector's item. Like, obviously, everyone would want to hope that, you know, anyone can get, you know, something like this because it is super cool. But in my head, I imagine it being, you know, something that might cost upwards of £500.
I think that's what they'll do. I think they'll do like a collector series for the initial launch, which is super high end, premium, you know, probably is, you know, $500 or whatever.
Mm.
And then as the technology becomes more commonplace, they'll release a line for kids where they can, you know, beat the shit out of each other and not worry.
If they release a Darth Maul one, though, then I'm there day one.
Oh,
that shit's mine.
You like a double ender, do you?
Yeah.
I think I still feel like I probably would pay 500. The problem I've got there is explain to my wife, like when she says, how much did you spend on this? I've got to lie.
£50.
£2.
I just got to make sure I've got money set aside for it. She doesn't know about it.
I mean, some of those Lego sets and stuff, like the Imperial Star Destroyer and like, you know, those big ones, they cost a shit ton, don't they? So
£650 for the Star Destroyer.
Yeah, so I feel like for an actual like lightsaber, then I feel like that might be justified.
It's not real, can I just point out?
I think it is
real.
If you use your imagination.
Yeah.
Well, you know, so I love Lego, and so I'm not sure I agree with you there, because the part of the fun with Lego is building something, and the Falcon is fucking massive.
Yeah.
And incredibly complex. And you'll get this lightsaber, and Dale, you'll stand there in front of your wife going, check me out. And she'll go, you fucking loser.
Yeah,
and
you'll go, she'll absolutely say that.
And you'll pop it on the mantelpiece and there it will sit.
Yeah.
I'll go to my nieces and nephew, though, and I'll be like, look at this, and they'll love it.
Yeah, but they're not going to be allowed to touch it.
But that's right? It. They'll want to play with it. So it's, you know, it's that, you know, catch 22. Like, I'm all for kind of buying cool things that are expensive. I bought a Boba Fett helmet. What did I do with that? I took a picture of it on my boy. And then I was like, that's up in the loft.
You should bring it into the studio, mate. We've got a few helmets in there now.
Well, Joe got one for free. You can bring his in.
Oh, there you go.
Talking about helmets, I'm currently building because of my birthday, like, a week and a bit ago, and I'm currently building the Darth Vader Lego helmet. That's quite cool, because I've got the Boba Fett Stormtrooper and TIE Fighter pilot helmet. And I was like, that is fun. I'm not usually big into Lego and stuff, but like just having those kind of small little ones to like mess around with and build, like, it's quite fun. The weird one about Darth Vader, though, is that he looks kind of happy. Like, if you look at a picture, his eyes, they look weirdly like cute and happy for what's meant to be someone who's like, you know, fucking obliterated hundreds of people. It's really good.
That's his thing. That's his bag.
Yeah. I always really like the idea of Lego. Like, I love the idea of like building these things. My thing is like, where would I even put this stuff? Like, I wouldn't want Lego displayed in my house.
You're embarrassed, but you want to have a lightsaber. Well,
I just don't. I wouldn't have that in display either. I'd have it in a box somewhere. I just don't display that many things like that. I say that as literally there is a Playmobil, Back to the Future, DeLorean right behind me. Right. Still. I wouldn't know where to put that stuff. So.
You just have to have like a dedicated Lego room.
That's not going to happen, mate.
Well, that's it. I've got a lot of Lego and it's cycled.
Yeah.
And anything that I kind of buy, I'll leave that out for a bit. And then I was like, oh, there's no room for that. Get rid of it. So, because I just got the R2-D2, which came out.
Oh, cool. That's cool. I was looking at that because there's a probe droid one as well that looks kind of neat, and I was like, I want it.
You want a probe droid?
Oh, it looks, the probe droid sick, does mate. Look cool. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Right, okay.
So take that back, son.
That is on my list. Jesse, apparently the next UCS might be an AT-AT, like similar sort of piece count to the Falcon. So it'd be like £650, but massive.
Ah,
that would be amazing.
Lightsaber or AT-AT? I don't know.
Can we get people to write in, by the way, how much they would spend on the real lightsaber?
It's not real.
It's a real lightsaber.
It doesn't cut through anything.
I saw that video, mate. It looked pretty fucking real to me.
Yeah. Imagine if you got like a broken one and you went like halfway. It was just really slow. That'd be quite disappointing.
It's a dagger, isn't it?
just a little tip poking it. But so the reason why I mentioned the R2-D2, because obviously the other thing that happened this week was Bad Batch, the new sort of Star Wars animated series. I was going to call it cartoon. That's probably doing it injustice. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I sat there with Ed, because it's a cartoon aimed at six-year-olds. He is six, with the R2-D2. And we're like, let's do some Star Wars, man. Let's fucking do it. And
you didn't say that, did you?
No, I didn't.
Let's fucking do it. Sit down, son.
But I would say after the opening, well, there's, you know, some action at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then some stuff with Grand Moff Tarkin that's just, he was so bored at that point. Yeah. It's like, can we just do Lego?
Yeah.
And so I haven't actually finished the first episode. I know we were supposed to talk about it in more detail, but I've got a watching partner and I can't go ahead without him.
Oh. Yeah. So I watched it in two stints, because it's quite long for a first episode of an animated show. Yeah,
they went all out with it.
It's like an hour and 15.
Yeah. Yeah.
I watched half it last night, and then I watched the other half in between I had two dental things this morning, so I had time in between, so I watched the rest on my phone. And I've never, like, full transparency, I'm not really into the Clone Wars show or anything like that. It's like animated Star Wars doesn't really do it for me. And I did think it was like visually impressive and it was cool. It definitely evoked Star Wars for me. But I did find the whole thing a little bit boring. Like, especially the bit where you're talking about, I was like, around that section, the big, there's a big fluffy middle bit in that. And like, once I've seen all the episode, I get exactly what they're doing storytelling wise. But I did feel really boring. And also, it's aimed at children, so I understand it. But all the characters are very two-dimensional.
Yeah, like the characterizations of, like, they're called Clone Force 99. They're meant to be like the fucking A-team of the clone army and stuff. Because you have like the, like, you know, the big, like, kind of stupid one, and you have like the nerdy one, then you have like the leader who, like, you know, he has some flaws, but he really is a good guy. And it's like, it's a, it feels more cartoony kind of than like the actual Clone Wars series. But this, because like with clones, like, you have to have characterization, they're all voiced by the same guy. To be distinctive, right?
Yeah, I guess when it started, I was like, oh, this is kind of cool. They're like almost like siege operators. Like, each one's got, like, one of them is literally called Echo.
Siege.
It's almost like a hero shooter thing. It's like they've all got their special gadgets and abilities and stuff. But then once the action died down and the helmets came off, I was like, no, they're all just kind of caricatures. Like, the big guy called Rekka, just stupid and he smashes stuff. And it's,
yeah, he's...
he's very annoying character.
Yeah, yeah. Already I hate him.
But it does feel like a sort of thing that children could get behind, their characters that they could get behind as well and enjoy. I don't know if it's for me, to be honest. I did quite enjoy towards the end of the episode. I do think that's quite a cool conclusion.
Yeah, I mean, I watched episode two today as well, so finished off episode one yesterday and then finished episode two today, and I quite like it. But for me, like, Star Wars isn't, I enjoy Star Wars more outside of the films, and I've said this before, just because I like the, you know, audio dramas, I like the comics and stuff like that, and, you know, some of the books and crap. And to me, I like the time period of the Clone Wars and that small little, like, bit of Star Wars history where it's just after Revenge of the Sith, where the clones are still part of that, and that kind of slow transition. Because you have, like, Rogue One, which is set between 3 and 4, but the Imperial Stormtroopers already there, and, like, the Imperial, like, you know, army's already established. But seeing the story of, like, clones adjusting to this is interesting to me, and I want to see where it goes. But they might as well have named it like Clone Wars Season 8, to be fair, just because it's kind of just a continuation, really.
Yeah, because, like, this show kicks off with the idea of, it's kind of starts around the time of Order 66. There's all this sort of stuff going on. I do think, you say about the slow transition, I do think it's a very quick transition, how they transition from a Galactic Republic to an Empire.
Yeah.
Like, almost like that. And everything's been reorged.
And all the clones become pricks for some reason. Like,
yeah. And like, really obviously the main characters, it's about them adjusting to this new world. But all the other clones, they seem to take to it like a duck to water, to be honest. It's not too much of an issue. Now.
Who cares?
Yeah, basically is that, yeah.
Is the second episode half an hour? Is it a long one too?
No, it's just like, I think maybe 28 minutes or something like that. It's like, you know, the normal average.
I think that's what you'll
expect.
Yeah. I feel like Ed would have been more kind of engaged if A, I wasn't doing Lego at the same time, and B, it was probably split into two episodes and just whisk along. Because, like, you know, he can see that, you know, you pause it and it's like, oh my God, it's a lonely halfway.
I did that exact same thing.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of talking for something that's meant to be an hour-long introduction to the Bad Batch and stuff.
And unlike you, Jesse, the time of the clones and stuff like that is probably my least favorite part of Star Wars.
I was going to say that while he was talking.
I know.
It's an era that I'm not that interested in, to be honest.
And even looking back and, you know, I've not watched the first three films for a very long time. It's just like, I just think that was a really stupid decision to kind of do all what. Yeah. I like the idea of the, you know, good turning bad and all that kind of stuff, but the way that it was done is shite, I think.
Yeah.
So let me get it straight. So your hot take is that the prequels were not good.
Exactly.
I've never heard this before.
I know. I was a bit of an outlier, but, you know.
Glad finally someone's saying what needs to be said.
Exactly. Well, in that case, so, you know, maybe I'll finish it off over the weekend, get stuck into episode two. I don't even know how many episodes it is, because, like, traditionally a lot of the Clone Wars have been quite long seasons, haven't they?
Yeah, but I think season 7, like the final season of Clone Wars, was relatively short, so I don't know if they're going to be, you know, repeating that kind of same like, I guess, episode or season length, or they're just going to go all out and have like, here's 20 episodes of Bad Batch. Like, fuck it.
I'm not going to watch 20 episodes.
Wow. Fake fan.
If it was six, I might think, okay, if they're telling like a little condensed story, then that might be cool.
Based on what I watched in episode two, I feel like it's 100% going to be like, yeah, we're going to have fucking a million seasons.
Oh, is it like Monster of the Week sort of stuff, is it? Okay, right. Did it feel a little bit, it felt a little bit like The Mandalorian to me in a way with the fact with the kid as well. Is the whole point of this operation is like find a young kid and save them and protect them.
The kid's going to be like a core point to the series, most likely.
Yeah. Got to sell that merch.
Oh, yeah.
There is a Lego Bad Batch series set coming out in September.
Of course there is.
Yeah, I did see that and I was like, not bad.
And what else have you been up to, Dale? You said you've watched a very good film.
Yeah, so I saw The Sound of Metal, which, if you don't know, is a film starring Riz Ahmed. It was Oscar nominated for Best Picture, didn't win, Nomadland won, but I saw it was on Amazon Prime the other day. And I'd heard, I was listening to another podcast where they mentioned that it was a good film, so I thought I wanted to check it out. And I don't really want to talk about it too much because I just want people to watch it, but I would just wholeheartedly recommend this film. Look it out. It's called The Sound of Metal. Got Riz Ahmed in it. It's on Amazon Prime. It's basically about a drummer for a heavy metal band who out of nowhere just goes deaf, just loses his hearing. It just drops. But it's one of the, like, an amazing portrayal of somebody going deaf in a movie because it very much puts the audience in his experience. A lot of the film takes place like within his hearing scope, so you hear what he hears for a lot of the time, and it's almost a bit too tough to watch at points. Like I found it quite tough a few points earlier on, and then fortunately enough they switch back to other people's sound so you can hear the film normally. So it's just not the whole film isn't silent,
right?
It's always he loses like 80% of his hearing, so you can kind of hear like very tinny and backgroundy sort of stuff, and then he keeps going with it for a while and sort of trying to fight it, and then that makes it worse. And then it's about him coming to terms with like sudden deafness and how you deal with that and how he changes a person.
That does sound pretty cool, actually.
It's absolutely like fantastic, and I recommend everyone to check it out. It's really good.
There you go. As I mentioned just before we started recording, I've caught up on The Line of Duty by watching the first season. So only another, 30 episodes to go until I find out what all the rigmarole is about. Right, I think that's it for this week's news. Now it is time for the endless search.
Dun, dun, dun.
Inside it's a UK IGN crew. Yeah, and ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Hold tight, the DJ, we're coming through. Yeah, and ones and twos. We got the games gonna play for you. Inside, I got a question for you. Is the endless search?
This week's endless search has been sent in by me. Yes, whoa. I did it myself. Because
wow, so cool.
Well, it's I actually quite enjoy doing it, although it was tougher to do than I expected.
Have you done an entry to how long it was my length or games that made me come, whatever it's called? I can't remember what we.
I need to listen to the episodes where you guys played that because
it's a really good game. But the problem is, it's only a finite amount of times we can do it because it's based on the host. But we never actually decided on a title. We had sort of like, how was my length? What was my length? How long did I last? And games that made me come were the three titles.
But I need to know what's the game behind the name.
Oh, no, it's not. It's just talking about how long you played a game for. Because you know, on PS5, it shows you how long you've played a game.
Right, okay.
That's all it is.
Oh. So it's not that.
Oh.
It is a return to a classic. Go on, name them.
Oh, I love it.
Wicked.
But this week's is themed around Resident Evil.
Oh, shit.
And so I'm hoping you two should do very well.
I'm imagining Jesse will do significantly better than me because I know the main series very well. It's all the offshoots I don't.
Wow.
Jesse was literally reading Resident Evil fan fiction books yesterday.
It's not fan fiction, actually.
Also, I've not got any questions about Resident Evil fan fiction.
Good.
Or expanded universe. It's all about the games.
Okay, so. Good.
Right, just five questions, because like I say, it turned out to be a bit harder than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
Who would like to go first?
Dale, you go first.
Got him.
All right, then. Question one. There are 28 games in the Resident Evil series.
So I just went to whistle and then I couldn't do it because my mouth still numb. I just went, I just blew.
How many can you name? And so, just so you know, remakes are in there.
Oh, okay. So, okay, that counts
so
as two.
There would be remake, yeah. But obviously, there's not that many. There's like proper remakes are in there, not just, oh, it's the same game on a different platform.
Yeah. This is tough because it feels a waste of time to start the bidding low. Because I know Jesse's going to go really high on this one.
I want to dare say all of them.
Really?
I would, in order. In fact, I reckon I could easily do 20.
Okay.
But I know Jesse's going to say all of them, and I want to see that challenge happen. So let's go on, Jesse.
You want to see it happen, mate?
What? Yeah. Like, honestly.
Do all of them. Go on.
Are you happy with that, Jesse?
Yeah. What number did you say?
Okay, I'll say 20. Oh, 20.
This 28. Is according to the fountain of knowledge that is Wikipedia.
I'm feeling nervous, but
well, I think that's a bit of a it's a bit unfair of Dale to throw it
he
over to
it.
You.
He
well,
said it.
Well, you should go 27 then. You should say 27.
Okay, 27.
And then really now good. Get him to name them.
shit, yeah.
What are you going to do?
On. Come on, Jesse, you can do it all.
All right.
I believe in you.
All right.
And okay. If you don't, I get a point, so it's win-win for me.
Right, okay.
I've got it.
I'm going to make a note of these as you go, so if yeah, I ask you to slow down, I'm ready.
Go beat by beat.
I'm feeling really nervous. All right. Resident Evil.
That is one.
Resident Evil 2.
That is another.
Resident Evil 3 Nemesis.
Correct.
Resident Evil Survivor.
Yeah.
Resident Evil Code Veronica.
Yeah.
Resident Evil Survivor 2 Code Veronica.
Yeah, that's the really crappy one when it's in a dream.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, there it is. Yeah.
Resident Evil Gaiden.
Yeah.
Was that like the Game Boy one?
That was the Game Boy one.
Oh, this doesn't include mobile games, by the way.
Oh no, that's fine. I couldn't even name those. Resident Evil the remake.
Yep.
Resident Evil Zero.
Yeah.
Resident Evil Dead Aim.
You've gone for some weird ones considering
he's doing them in order.
Literally, oh,
you really?
Order.
Okay.
Right. I was looking at this yesterday.
Okay.
Resident Evil Outbreak.
Yeah.
Resident Evil Outbreak File 2.
Yeah.
Resident Evil 4.
Yep.
Resident Evil 5.
Yeah.
Resident Evil The Umbrella Chronicles.
Yep.
Resident Evil The Dark Side Chronicles.
Yep. Ooh, he's doing well.
Resident Evil The Mercenaries 3D.
What? Yep. I wouldn't have got that one.
Resident Evil 5.
You've said that, but that's all right.
Okay. Resident Evil Revelations.
Bloody hell. Yep.
Resident Evil Operation Raccoon City.
Oh, that's a yep. stinker, that one.
Because that one's shit. Always remember that. Resident Evil 6.
Yep.
Umbrella Corps.
I was just scribbling that down, thinking that might be one you forget.
No, because I played it the other week. Resident Evil Revelations 2.
Yep.
And then the rest are easy. Resident Evil 7.
Yep.
Resident Evil 2 Remake.
Yep.
Resident Evil 3 Remake.
Yep.
Resistance.
Wait, was Resistance not part of Resident Evil 3?
That's a standalone game.
It's on this list, yeah.
Okay.
And then finally, Resident Evil Village.
Is that 28?
There is Reverse, but again, that's part of the game.
Yeah.
Jesse, congratulations. I'm giving you 27 points.
What? What a legend.
Fucking hell.
Like, I'm going to get everything else wrong now, you watch.
I would have got like 24 of them maybe. There's a few in there that like I would have definitely forgotten about.
Yeah.
Gaiden, especially.
Gaiden's the one I haven't played yet.
Yeah.
Wow.
Fair play.
Jesus Christ. All right, then. It's your turn now, Jesse. The next category is there are 39 playable protagonists in Resident Evil games. How many can you name? Get a point for each one you get correct unless you fuck it up. Then you get none.
I can name... Can I just have a second in my head, please?
How many did you say? 39?
39, yeah.
Okay. 39?
Oh, apparently.
That many.
Again, Wikipedia.
Yes. Protagonists or just playable characters?
Playable protagonists. That could be in the main game or it could be in DLC or mini games.
Ooh.
Oh, mate. It's game over.
You can literally just say every fucking character that's ever been in Resident Evil.
I will go for 15.
15. Okay. Ooh. Dale?
18.
How are you going for 18?
I don't know.
Because it's more than...
Shit, I know it.
Are you going to go more?
19.
Oh my God. 20.
Come on, that's only halfway.
21.
Don't forget, Jesse's on 27 points. If whoever
so stupid
gets this wrong, they get the points that Jesse... So let's say we go for 21. If whoever gets that wrong, then you get 21 points. The other person gets 21 points.
Thing is, I'm sure I can see them all visually.
You've already taken it too high, man.
It's whether I can remember some of their names. What was the last number you said?
21.
22.
23.
Go on, name them. I just want to get a couple extra out of you.
Okay.
All right, then. Jill Valentine.
Yes.
Chris Redfield.
Yes.
Barry Burton.
Yes.
Albert Wesker.
Yes.
Rebecca Chambers.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't scribble that one down.
Leon S. Kennedy.
What does the S stand for?
Scott.
Correct.
There we go. Ada Wong.
Yep.
Hunk.
Yep.
How many did I say I want to do?
23, I think.
23, yeah.
Oh, that's fucked up,
and
man.
And you've done 8.
if you can keep count, Dale, that'd be
Carlos
useful,
Oliveira.
Yep.
That is great.
Steve Burnside.
Yeah, I couldn't remember that fucker's name.
Yeah.
I was trying to scribble it down earlier.
Ashley Graham.
Yep.
Do you play as her?
Yeah, you play as her in Resident Evil 4.
It's playable, yeah.
Jack Krauser.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is crap.
He's wicked, mate.
He's such a cheesy character.
Sheva Olomar? Is that how you say your name?
Yep. Have you got Wikipedia open there?
No. Sheva Olomar is from Resident Evil 5.
You'd accept Sheva anyway. That's all they ever refer to as, really.
Yeah, that's true. My favorite character from Resident Evil 6, Agent.
Yep.
Ethan Winters.
Yep.
Mia Winters.
Yep.
16.
Give me a moment. Mikhail Victor.
Nice. Wait, do you play as Mikhail?
In Mercenaries, you do.
Oh, okay.
Yep, that is correct. Yep.
Nikolai.
Oh, you're bottling on the second name, but yes, I'll let you have it. Yeah.
Jake Mueller?
There's one big name which I'm sure you said, but it's not on there. You said Chris Redfield, right?
I said Chris Redfield, yeah. Did you get Jake down?
Can we clarify his surname?
Jake Mueller?
Is it Mueller?
It's like Muller or something.
Yeah, it's Mueller.
Okay, Mueller, my bad.
Or Muller. Yeah.
Is there any chance I can get just a read off what I've said?
Rebecca Chambers, Albert Wesker, Chris Redfield, Jill Valentine, Barry Burton, Leon S. Kennedy, Claire Redfield, Ada Wong, Hunk, Carlos Oliveira, Mikhail Victor, Nikolai Zinoviev, Steve Burnside, Ashley Graham, Jack Krauser, Sheva Alomar, Jake Mueller, Agent, Ethan Winters, and Mia Winters.
Pierce Nevins. Or Pierce.
Is that from Resident Evil 6?
Yeah. Yes.
You're on 20, by the way. You got 3 left.
Oh, fuck. Okay. Helena Harper.
I thought it was Carter, isn't it? Or is it Harper?
No, please tell me it's Harper. Is it Helena Harper?
It is Helena Harper, yes.
Oh, nice. Yes. I should never doubt you, Jesse.
Jesus, he's destroying you.
Well, he's got 2 to go and he's struggling like hell.
No, I'm the best.
I've just thought of another one, actually.
Alex Wesker.
Yes.
Fucking hell, yeah.
Who's left now? Just one more.
5, 6.
Just one more.
8, 9, oh, easy. 10, 11. Hang on a minute. I'm just checking. 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. You've done 23, according to this.
Oh, is he? Oh, I've got 22. We'll just say your last one, what you had.
Yeah, anyway. Do another one.
Josh Stone from RE5.
Yes.
He didn't say Sherry Birkin.
I completely forgot about her because I was trying to go like, I don't know if I was going in like order of games or whatever. Yeah. I was trying to think of like playable people. I forgot that you play a show.
You also missed Tofu as well, mate.
Yeah, that's true. I'm trying to think of if I missed anyone list, humongous.
Tofu.
He is playable though on, what's that mode called?
Mercenaries. No, Fourth Survivor.
So you've got Billy Cohen.
Oh, yeah.
Resident Evil Zero.
Brad Vickers.
When do you play as Brad?
That must be in like a Mercenaries mode or something.
He's not in Mercenaries.
No, but maybe on the Oh, I don't know.
I can't remember.
Ingrid Hunnigan.
Do you play as Hunnigan? No, you don't. Again. But that is a character.
Wikipedia.
Sorry.
Parker Luciani. Louis Serra. Keith Lumley. Jessica Sherowat. Quint Ketchum.
Quint Ketchum.
Raymond Vester. What a load of bullshit names. Excella Guion. Moira Burton. Natalia Corda. Carla Radames. And then Joe Baker.
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
Anyway, 23 points. You're on 50 DLC. Points.
Yeah.
Wait.
50
points.
I'm not a fan of this scoring system, to be honest.
Can I lose any point now?
If you can actually name something, then maybe you'll be in with a chance, but you'll be dominated.
Jesse's not giving me a chance, is he? So.
You went all you've got to do is go one higher. The characters. I'm dreading what's coming next.
Right. I would have got like 20 max on those characters. I wouldn't have been able to do that.
Okay. Dale. I want to know, in fact, there are 12 Resident Evil games that scored 8. And that can be 8.0 or up to 8.9 because obviously our scoring system has changed. What are those games?
Okay.
This is all on you, dude.
Well, I mean, I'm sure you can have a pretty good guess.
Now, there are a couple of things in there that are platform specific. If you pick that game, I will say what platform did it get that score on.
Okay. 5.
Okay. Jesse Gomez.
I'm trying to think. The only scores I think I know, is Village and 7. I can't remember what we scored, 3 or 2. And I know the review system changed. I'm just going to say, go on, name them, because I'm drawing a blank.
All right.
Yes. I didn't expect that to work. Okay. Resident Evil 2 remake.
No.
What?
No.
What did it get?
It 100% got over an 8.
Yeah, it got over an 8, but I think it got a 9.
Oh, I've got 8 or above here written.
No, between 8 and 8.9, it has to score an 8.
Right. Okay, let's start again. Right. Because that was confusion there. I thought it was 8 or above. No. Oh, between 8 or 8.9. Okay, that makes it way more complicated.
Because Village got 8. There's one for you.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to say that one.
Well, why wouldn't you?
I know Resident Evil 3 remake got 9. So, I'm going to say the Resident Evil 1 remake on GameCube.
Oh my god.
That must have got a great score.
The remake, yes.
Okay.
I believe. Well, the Resident Evil remake did. I haven't got specifically GameCube, so I'm going to give you that.
Yeah, okay. It's tough because I'm not basing it on my own opinions.
Just four more, that's all.
I think I say Resident Evil 3 Nemesis, the original on PlayStation 1.
So are you saying the PlayStation version, or would you like to change that to a different format? Because Resident Evil 3 had multiple scores.
The Dreamcast one?
Yes, absolutely right.
Wait, the Dreamcast version of Resi 3 got what score?
8 point something. Sorry, I didn't have time to write all the numbers down. Okay. Go and Google it.
That's mad.
Where's my notes of all the games? I made notes of them. Oh,
so Resident Evil 3 scored in the nines, but the Dreamcast version didn't score so well. For whatever reason.
I want to know why. Oh, well.
Where did I write these games? Oh, well, I'm just going to go off memory. Right.
Three more.
Right. Code Veronica.
But which version?
Oh, yeah. So there was... you got to think that the PlayStation version scored higher because it was more complete. So I'm going to say the Dreamcast one again.
So let me tell you that no versions of Code Veronica scored 8.
Ah, balls.
So why don't you just say Resident Evil Village, you tool?
Because you already told me that one. That's cheating. I wanted
I know that you'd have got that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't want to. But anyway, I lost.
Right.
What did we give Resident Evil 4? Was that like a 10?
Well, Resident Evil 4 on PS3 got in the 8s.
Right.
Okay. Resident Evil 2 on Dreamcast again was in the 8s. The Dreamcast was obviously not a very good Resident Evil port machine. The original Resident Evil, we gave 8.3 or 8.7 when it first came out. Village, obviously an 8. Mm. Resident Evil Archives, Resident Evil, that same. And then we got Resident Evil Zero, Resident Evil The Missions, Resident Evil Dark Side Chronicles, and then Revelations and Revelations Episode 2.
So Revelations are on my list of ones to say. And I thought about Zero, but I thought, I hate that game. I think it's crap.
So yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of it.
That's like a 6 out of 10, that game, for me.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the points go to Jesse. What a whitewash.
Yeah, it's a battering, isn't it?
Right, two more questions. Jesse Gomez.
Oh, fuck.
There are 11 enemies in the original, the very first Resident Evil.
Oh.
Name them.
I wish I could write down notes because I
11 enemies.
In the original, yeah?
In the very first, in the original. Like, I don't know if it's different in the remakes.
Yeah, is that Crimson Heads in the second one, didn't they?
Does that include bosses?
Oh, no, so that... Oh, right, okay, so that's giving it away. It is in the GameCube remake.
Oh, okay. The GameCube remake.
Yes.
And that includes bosses?
I think so.
Yeah, probably. But
I think, right, looking at this, there's definitely some bosses that I remember, but I don't remember the end of that game.
Okay, so I'm going to go with... 8.
8, okay.
How many are there?
11. Yeah.
Okay.
I feel I've got quite a lot of these.
I'm going to say 9.
Okay.
Go on, name them.
Oh, come on, Dale. Come on, Dale. Get some points.
So I've got 7 written down, so I'm just going to hopefully work out as I go. Right, so a zombie.
Yes.
Yeah. Hunter.
Yes.
Okay, crows or birds in general. I don't know what the terminology would be.
Just be the crows, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's not on here.
Oh,
they are.
Yeah, they're 100% in that game. Yeah. Though.
All right, I'll give it to you then.
Okay. The tyrant.
So that's not on here as well.
What list do you have?
I don't know.
Well, they might call it something else. What?
No.
What do they, like the technical name. Whatever the tyrant's technical name
it's,
is.
It's a bunch of like letters and numbers and shit, but it is the tyrant.
No, okay, all right, go for that.
Okay. That. Crimson Heads?
Yes.
Okay, a shark? I don't know if it has a name. It's just
what's
a shark.
The name of the shark?
Neptune, so, according to this.
There we go.
Okay. Lisa Trevor?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about
what?
Her.
What?
Lisa Trevor?
What's Lisa Trevor?
It's a She's boss an enemy. That you face in the remake.
Right, that's not on here.
What is this list?
I'm going to facilitate this for you, Dale.
So this one, I know he has a different name, but I can't think of it, but it's the giant snake.
Yawn.
Does have a different name, yes.
Yawn, that's it, yes, yeah. How many have I got?
How many are you supposed to name? List.
1, 2, 3.
You said 9, right?
6.
Yeah.
I've got 8.
I've done 8, fuck's sake.
Oh, you've missed some pretty obvious ones out.
Oh, yeah.
I'm drawing a blank. Oh, the dogs.
Dogs.
Zombie dogs.
Yes.
Yeah. Cerberus.
Cerberus. Yeah. The other ones that were on my definitive list. Well done, list. By the way. Wasps.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The giant spider. Oh,
there's a plant 42 or
plant 42. Plant 42. That's 42. It.
Now, there's a chimera. So what's that?
Don't know.
What's the chimera?
And then little snakes. Little snakes.
Little snakes. Are you Googling chimera? Because I want to know.
Chimera isn't evil, yeah. It's oh, it's like that weird bug thing that stands on 2 feet.
Oh, yeah, that's like in the basement shit. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a giant fly.
Yeah.
You get 8 points, Dale.
Nice. Nice. Doesn't right. help.
Last one, Dale, you need to name your number first, is the named characters in Resident Evil 4.
Named characters in Resident
named
Evil
4? Named characters. So not just like this fucking funny thing over there. They've got actual names.
Okay. And how many were there?
15.
Fucking hell. 5.
That's 15.
Apparently. Look, if you don't like the answers, then have a go at Wikipedia. But, you know, as far as I'm concerned, everything here is 100% correct.
God, what the hell's his name?
Wait, how many did you say?
Dale,
I said 5.
Said
yeah.
5.
Oh, no, but in terms of characters,
oh, 15.
15?
Yes. Come on, Jesse. Just go all out. You've won it. Name all of them.
Are you going for 15? I mean, no. What do you say?
There's five.
Five.
Sorry, you're really struggling.
Listen, there's a lot of numbers going on here. I will go with 6.
Dale, if you can do 10, you win the whole thing.
What? Fucking bullshit, mate.
Don't worry.
I might work hard.
Jesse, do not worry. There's no way I can do 10. Oh, I just thought. I've got 5 scribbled down, and there's another one in my head, but I can't. Oh,
I need to scribble shit down, man.
I can't remember his name.
Are you going to go 7?
Yeah,
let's
go
7. Have to. Yeah. Right. Gomez?
8.
He's just playing me, isn't he? 9. 10. Yeah, go on, name them.
Right.
Okay.
Go on then.
Leon Scott Kennedy.
Yes.
Middle name and all.
Ingrid Hunnigan.
Yes.
Ashley Graham.
Yes.
Mike.
Yes.
Wait, so one of the guys from the start in the car?
No, no. I'm not sure they have names, but Mike's the helicopter pilot who dies.
Okay.
Who have I named?
Ashley Graham, Ingrid Hannigan, Leon Kennedy, and Mike.
The Merchant.
Merchant, that's a good one.
Osmond Sadler.
Yes.
That's who I couldn't think of his name.
Luis, or is it Louis? Luis Serra?
Yep.
Yeah.
Albert Wesker.
You now have 8. 2 more.
Ada Wong.
Yep.
Jack Krauser.
Nice. Didn't even say Salazar.
Good. You didn't say Salazar.
Salazar's the tiny one, right?
Yeah.
Which boss man did I say? Sadler.
You said Sadler, yeah.
Okay.
Well, all I can say is fantastic work, Jesse Gomez. You got 65 points, Dale. You got 8.
Resident Evil 8, that's why I did it.
Yeah.
Well, that's it. Very on brand.
Perfect.
You are our Resident Evil, Jesse Gomez, so well done.
Thank you. I just want to confirm, are we allowed to take written notes now during this game? Is that a thing we can do?
Of course.
Well, yeah, I don't mind.
You're just scribbling down your ideas because they're in your brain anyway. You're just scribbling them down.
I didn't know we could do that because I don't want to be like typing away when I'm like, because I don't have any pen or paper near me. I don't want to be like I'm cheating.
It's not really cheating. It's just getting your thoughts in check. Anyway, let's move on to feedback. I have the first piece of feedback from Tyler Wood, who says, "What's up, porridge podders?" I don't know who says that, but hey.
Nah. Yeah.
A few weeks ago, a bunch of greedy old men almost ruined football as we know it. I'm a huge football fan and won't mention the team I follow as not to cause animosity between myself and the IGN UK team. When the news dropped, it hit me surprisingly hard. Football has always meant a lot to me. It's the main connection I have with my dad, and it's got me through some pretty tough times as a nice, safe outlet and distraction when things aren't going great. To deal with what I was feeling about the news, I booted up Football Manager Save, created a new club at the bottom of the English pyramid to ultimately dethrone the bastards at the top. It's been surprisingly therapeutic. I wanted to write in and ask you guys if you've ever used games to deal with something that's affecting you in real life. Keep up the great work. Something about the sea.
Respect. That's what it's about.
Thank you, Tyler, for the great feedback.
Yeah. I have actually done that exact same thing. Well, not exact same thing, but I've used Football Manager to, when seasons haven't gone particularly well for Coventry City, it'd be like, right, I'm going to play through it and sort of try and make it better. And like, or I use it to sign players that we missed out on and we didn't get to sign sometimes. Like to sort of relive real life inside Football Manager. So I can relate to that.
I think it's the classic thing, isn't it? Like, before like any World Cup or Euros tournament, you always get in there, let's see how England are going to do, yeah, exactly, or whatever. And me being shit at both PES and FIFA, they do just as well as they do in real life. So, yeah. But I think, like, I don't think outside of football, it's, you know, obviously games you play as an escapism, but not to kind of sort of change the events of something that's happening in real life.
About,
not that
like,
I can think of.
The Sims. Not
that
I've done
played
it.
The Sims.
No. I talked about this. I can't remember in what podcast, like when we had our awards and stuff. I talked about Flight Simulator kind of helping me deal a little bit with the pandemic and going to places that I haven't been able to go in a long while. So I still occasionally dip back into that, like just to, sounds silly, like relive some memories of like the favorite places I've been to and currently can't go to and stuff. That would be my answer.
Yeah, that actually makes me think of GTA 5 as well, when once you've been down to like some of those areas that they're based on, you know, like Santa Monica Pier and things like that, where it's like it's almost identical. And I've several times gone back and played that game just to go to those bits where if I've gone there for work or on holiday and I'm like, oh, I want to see how they recreated it in the game compared to what it was in real life.
No, that's true. So I have done that in GTA, that like I've stayed in one of the hotels on the front and I remember sort of driving past and going, oh, it's just there, and you know, getting a sense of where everything is.
Also Watch Dogs Legion as well, kind of, it's not central, is pretty accurately sort of recreated, like really central, but yeah, when you sort of like where our office is in that game is like very different compared to.
But Oldgate is there though, isn't it? The station.
Yeah, but
like I went there.
There's literally the station, and then everything around it is pretty much. There's the church next to it, but there's pretty much everything else is different.
Yeah, there. Like it was cool seeing that a little bit as well. But Tyler mentioned the whole football thing, and as someone who doesn't like care or pay attention to football at all, like seeing that whole commotion of what was it like the different leagues and shit, like Super whatever league, was happening. Like I don't follow football, but that genuinely seems like heartbreaking to anyone who cares about football. Like just reading it offhand, it seems like something completely crazy. And like, I haven't been following it since, but has it been resolved? Is like,
well,
has the backlash fixed?
All the
it?
English teams dropped out of it after the backlash, and then it was like a house of cards. It kind of all came crumbling down. There's still a couple of teams who still think it's going ahead and still bad, but there was 12 teams that were going to break away in, or more than 12 teams actually, but they're going to break away into a European Super League. But the problem was it was all about money, and it was the almost the death of competition because those teams would be in it every year whether they earned it or not. That was kind of the problem,
and that's what seems mad, like because football obviously is like so important to so many different people, and then like to have a team that you've supported, or like, you know, you've supported because your mum supports or your dad supports, and it's like, you know, you follow these teams for, you know, generations, and then they do something like that. It's like I can't imagine anything that I care that much about something like that happening, and it just seems crazy.
Yeah,
it just seems it goes against everything that football is about. But hey, but money,
it's not happening for now,
people.
Good.
All right, this is from Marie Humphrey. It says, hey guys, I've got a constant backlog of podcasts and audiobooks that I want to catch up on, but need to be doing something else while I'm listening to them. I listen to them while running / going for walks, but I'd love to have a few good games that aren't too intensive and can be played on mute so that I can listen to podcasts at the same time. Any recommendations would be greatly appreciated. What we got, lads? What we thinking?
I listen to a lot of podcasts. No, that's a lie. A lot of audiobooks, my bad. Yeah. Said the wrong words there, but like, I feel like maybe, you know, racing games, stuff like Animal Crossing, where maybe audio isn't particularly important, I feel like.
I feel like audio is important in most games. It's a bit, for me, I do it when I'm trophy hunting or replaying games and stuff, or like platforming games. Like when I was playing, what was I playing recently? It's probably Sackboy's Big Adventure, actually. When I was replaying some of those levels, I was just listening to a podcast at the same time because it's quite easy to do. Not to harp on about it, but Football Manager is absolutely something you can do on podcasts and stuff as well. But and football games, sports games in general.
Yeah, where you know where the sound design isn't inherent and just the cheers of the crowd or whatever. It's like, who cares?
Yeah.
Like, again, going back to Resident Evil, the sound on that is so important. Like listening to, because you can hear enemies the other side of doors and stuff like that. And you know when like Lady D's there and all that kind of stuff.
Mm.
I tried playing Siege a few times while having a podcast on because I felt like I played.
Mate,
exactly,
that's impossible.
Right?
What are you doing?
But I felt like I'd played it so much that I was like, well, I know exactly the flow of this game, but then when you take sound away, you realize how massive it is towards playing it.
Ideas above your station. You think that you're better than you really are, basically.
I just want to listen to a podcast and play a game at the same time. But I tend to do what Marie does, and I listen to most of mine. Without commuting, I listen to most of mine when going for a run and stuff, or cooking. Yeah, I tend to put on podcasts when I'm cooking quite a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, we weren't much out there. Go for bigger walks.
Just realised I didn't put your name next to this last email, Jesse.
I wouldn't have been able to read it otherwise. You freed me. This is from Jeff Smith. He says, "What's up, Redcoats? Last week, me and my girlfriend and 5-year-old were listening to the podcast on the way to IKEA. Don't worry, he was playing Switch. Anyway, as we were driving, I was thinking, I wonder if they have IKEAs where they live. I assume you do because it's a Swedish company. I know that because I had some Swedish meatballs there and everything's written in Swedish. Which brings me to my next question. What is the best department store / shopping center food you've had? Here in America, Costco has a food court that serves pretty good hot dogs. IKEA has their Swedish meatballs. Sometimes our Targets have a Pizza Hut or Starbucks in it. Also, literally everything has a Subway sandwich shop built into it in the USA. I think my answer is probably IKEA, to be fair. And I didn't believe it because my girlfriend was telling me, like the food in IKEA is surprisingly good. I was like, that's bullshit. It has to be shit. And then we went there when we did some shopping and I had some of their meatballs and stuff with mash and like the little raspberry kind of jam thing they have and stuff. And I was Lingonberry. Like, fuck, this is banging.
To answer the first question, yes, we do have IKEAs.
Yes.
Not as many as we used to have. They've shut a few down.
You're going on about Coventry, aren't you? Because Cobb's always gone.
Cobb's IKEA was absolutely ginormous. It was like one of the biggest ones.
IKEA Super Centre in.
But Cobb, it was about the only one that was in a city centre, isn't it? It was a weird one.
So there's one where three or four in London, don't
there's
we?
There's one near is where it? I live now, which is just on the outskirts of Reading.
Milton Keynes. Mine's closer to Wembley.
That's my one. Milton Keynes, massive. But like Jesse, mash. Don't be so ridiculous. You've got to have chips with loads of the gravy drizzled over it.
Nah, chips are pissed here.
We've already established that Jesse doesn't like chips as well.
No, I like chips, but let's not get ahead of ourselves here. You get as many meatballs as you can. You get all the sauce and shit. And then you mix the sauce with the mash and like the meatballs and stuff. It will taste banging.
Jesse, remember when you said fish and chips as a snack?
I just said I wouldn't consider it something as I would eat as a meal.
You don't think it's a meal, fish and chips?
Mate, I still stand by that. I wouldn't have it as a meal.
I'm pretty
That's
sure
I'm
you said it was a snack because we followed up. No. And also, you've said it once and we're never ever going to let you go.
That's fine. I'm happy to, you know, refute people's claims and, you know, chat back. But
so if you weren't that hungry and you're at IKEA, you'd maybe go for a little snack of fish and chips. But if you wanted a proper thing, you'd go all the way out for
I'm clarifying here. It's not a meal I would want to eat.
Can
it's
we
not
just
my favorite combo.
Rewind back to where you said people's claims that fish and chips is a meal. It's a bit more than a claim, mate.
No,
it's
I'm referring. Listen, all I'm saying is, it's not something I would want to eat in a meal. I prefer something else.
But okay, you know? But in a meal, but like just not something I would eat, full stop. It's the inner meal. It's such a weird thing to say.
I need to be clear as crystal here.
Well,
and you know what? You can listen back to the podcast whenever I joined, however many years ago. You know, it's been a long time. Who knows what I said?
Yeah, something mad, definitely.
No lingonberry sauce for me. No thanks. Just really? Gravy, but then salt and vinegar on the chips. Oh.
Their gravy is very nice. I can't think of any food courts though. Like,
I mean, every
like if you go
shopping
to Westfields or something. Like,
but it's every shopping center has food right? courts.
Yeah. Subway. Yeah. We have a lot of Subway as well. Yeah.
KFC, McDonald's, Burger King, and whatnot. Costco do have the Costco over here is like sell some amazing stuff.
I've never been to a Costco. Is that just like a normal supermarket?
You need to be a trader of some kind, don't you, to go in there.
Yeah, really? Because you need my a membership. Wife is self-employed, so she's a member. But like, it's like a supermarket, but bigger. But everything
they sell stuff like in bulk?
Wholesale stuff.
And it's like, you know, you can't just go and buy one chocolate bar. You buy a massive ton of chocolate.
So I can buy a shit ton of Capri Sun.
You could buy a fuck ton of Capri
Sun. That sounds sick.
It's good for things like toilet roll and stuff like that, going to those sort of places.
But you end up with like 64 rolls of toilet rolls. Like, where
the problem
am I going to put 64 rolls of toilet roll?
Hey, this time last year, you'd be praying for that. You'd
be on eBay this time last year.
I'm so glad that's not a thing anymore, man.
There you go. IKEA it is. Do you know what? I might even be going to IKEA tomorrow. What a way to spend a rainy Saturday.
I might actually be doing the same, shockingly. Don't go to the one in Wembley, mate. I don't want to see you.
Wembley. See, I'm kind of in between Wembley and Milton Keynes, but Milton Keynes has got a nicer vibe.
Yes, you haven't been to the Wembley one,
because you
bro.
Go to the one in Wembley.
That's elite.
Anyway.
Can we just talk about how Jeff said at the end of the email, RTS... which now stands for Respect the Sea instead of Real-Time Strategy.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, why is he talking about Real-Time Strategy?
Yeah, Respect the Sea, mate.
There you go. I didn't realise. Yeah. That's it for this week's podcast. Thank you so much for joining us, as always. How do people get in touch? What's the email address, Jesse?
Oh, fuck if I know, man. Don't throw that to me.
You've been here for like 2 years now.
I'm going to be the person to say it. Simplify the email. Do it.
You don't think anyone else has said that?
No.
It's just as much part of this podcast as we all are now, so it stays.
Yeah. IGN_UKfeedback@IGN.com.
Thank you,
that's too much. That's too much.
Do you know what? If I think about it, I forget what it is. I just have to say it like muscle memory.
Yes.
Just say it as fast as I can.
Yeah. Well, IGN_UKfeedback@IGN.com.
Yeah. There you go. Is that it? Next time I'm on and you're on, I will be asking you. Send in your suggestions about fish and chips, whether it is a meal or a snack or a different type of, I don't know, what else would it be?
It's a meal. We don't need
I know that.
To write in.
Listen, there's going to be one other person like me, yeah, who disagrees.
Well, we'll see.
So let's hear from you.
We want as many people writing in as possible so we get a true poll of what our audience thinks.
I'm going to get fucking slagged off in emails for ages.
And of course, let us know what you think about Resident Evil, especially the bit that I'm about to experience, hopefully this weekend. Yeah.
Cool.
Until then, thank you very much, and I will see you later.
Oh, hang on. We need to pick music.
Oh.
That's a thing we do. Maybe just a Resident Evil 8 spooky music.
Are there any like banging IKEA tunes?
What?
Any like good IKEA adverts have like a nice little jingle? I don't know. I'm trying to be creative here, man.
I'll just play the Resident Evil 8 music, some of their spooky sounds.
Typical.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of supernatural horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the past?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
To save yourself.
Of course.
What else would it be?
The Sheridans, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.